Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Word of Mom Radio and our ever-growing Word of Mom Network. I'm Dori DiCarlo, and you know that we are here every week with new shows, new ideas, and new ways to empower and support and encourage mompreneurs, that new businesswoman who is out there, and finding that balance between building a business and raising a family. And when I say balance, I don't mean equality. It's not an equal scale, and we're not measuring things. But how do you fit everything in? What do you do when you're that working mom who has to work outside of the house and still trying to build a business at the same time and raise your kids? And how do you find best ways to enjoy them, encourage them, educate them, and have that time with them that really matters? And I'm so enjoying one of our newest shows, Productive Play, with Debbie Dutton and Alyssa Sunger, who is not here today because she's actually on maternity leave because she's become a mompreneur herself. And I, you know, we'll catch up with her in a month or two. But Debbie is here. And Debbie, just to give you a little background, Debbie and Alyssa, it's the mompreneur dream because, you know, it's mother and daughter that have created this fabulous website called ifnotyouwho.org. And I'm just going to give you some background. Debbie is one of the co-creators of ifnotyouwho.org, and it focuses on sharing adults with adults the knowledge necessary to prepare a child for kindergarten and for life. Research shows that 45% of children are not prepared to enter kindergarten. And today, Productive Play will support and educate parents and adults and other adults in a preschooler's life in the social and cognitive skills needed to begin kindergarten successfully. And I don't know about you, but, you know, playing with my kids was, I close my eyes and I can think of the things that I did with them. And I was one of the fortunate ones that was home with my kids and had a preschool education background. That was what I went to college for was preschool, you know, special education, and I was focused on, you know, early childhood education. So my playroom was set up like a preschool. Everything had its own place. It had labels and pictures and this and that, but, you know, not every parent is geared like that. And so I love what ifnotyouwho.org is doing, and I want to welcome Debbie. Welcome to today's, you know, Productive Play show. Hi.
Hello, Dori. It's good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Oh, I am so enjoying this show. So how's Alyssa and how's little Declan doing?
Oh, they grow so fast. Declan is doing wonderful, and I haven't seen him now for about 4 weeks, and I just can't wait to get my hands back on him. And again, well, as we talk about educational things, I just look at even at 2 months, how they grow, how he's already doing things I didn't think were possible in a two-month-old, and how smart these kids are as babies. And it just continues as toddlers and preschoolers and kindergartners, and we just need to give them opportunities to learn.
You know, it is so much fun, and it goes so fast. And when I think back, my oldest just turned 26 in April, and he was my super baby. Whatever you could do at the earliest part of the spectrum of that chart of development, that was Danny. You know, if you were 4 months old, he was actually sitting up on his own, would crawl over to somewhere and sit up. At 6 months old, he was actually standing up and walking, holding furniture. And I remember telling this pediatrician, and he was like, that's really not possible. And I was like, oh, really? And he goes, well, it would just be the earliest happened. I was like, Danny, I put him in the middle of the room. I was like, come here to mommy, sweetheart. He crawled right over, pulled himself up on the couch, and then just started walking over to me, holding on, and the doctor was just like, I was like, yeah, super baby. And I had these little Superman PJs for him, and I used to joke all the time.
Oh.
And it was the Superman PJs that did it. But it is, it's just so much fun. And, you know, before we get into the show, I want to say thank you to today's sponsors, Healthy Concepts. Healthy Concepts, go to ReSully, ReSully.com. Renee Sullivan is a proud mompreneur, and she represents a phenomenal company. I don't know if you've ever heard of Shaklee, but it's just health and wellness and nutrition and, you know, cleaning products that make sense, when you, especially when you have children, and you don't want to be polluting your own environment. And I strongly encourage you to reach out to Renee, not only for the healthy concepts and her great blogs and everything else, but great tips and ideas on how to grow and build a business of your own while you are raising your kids and everything else. She's truly that mompreneur that's making it all happen. So, again, go to resully.com. And our other sponsor, Safety First Bags, you need to travel and you need your laptop when you do. But do you really want to remove your laptop at every airport checkpoint? I know I don't. And Safety First Bag makes it possible for you not to. Their checkpoint-friendly laptop bags and backpacks meet all federal TSA guidelines, which means jet-setting mompreneurs and busy travelers don't have to remove their laptop. If you go to wordofmomradio.com/offer/, we have a special price and free shipping for our Word of Mom Radio listeners. So I encourage you to give yourself the gift of convenience. Stop having to remove that laptop and make travel a breeze. So, again, go to wordofmomradio.com/offer/. And now we are back. Sponsors are done, and I'm all set. I've got my pen ready because grandchildren will be coming soon, someday soon. I'm not going to hold my breath because I would turn blue like we're talking about today. See, there's a way to show. Hold your breath. No, don't teach your kids.
No, we don't want to turn blue. We don't want to do that.
You got to have the joke. You have to get the fun in.
Yes. And I bet your kids had tons of fun when they were learning. And that's what, if not Yoo-hoo and productive play, that's our whole goal. We want it
well,
to be
fun. Well, and
there
you go. And you know what? It should be that fun time. And fun time can actually be productive. I just love the title, Productive Play. It says it all. So
good.
Here we go.
Well, let's share an activity. First, if there's any question about what we talk about today on that website, ifnotyouwho.org, it is a free website. It's available to anyone. And today we're going to be talking about an activity that's in month 2, and it's actually activity 6. So you can go back and look at it online if there's something you don't understand, and it gives some pictures. And then we also have blogs, and the blog that we're going to refer to is called Eager to Learn. So if you're online, you can look at it now, but what you need when you begin this activity with your child is just 2 items, and we hope that they're right there in your house. One is a package of blue Jell-O or gelatin. Month 2, if you're using the whole website, we're working with the color blue, so that's why we're using blue Jell-O. And then you need a cookie sheet or some type of a large platter that's going to have sides. Now, I don't know about you, Dory, but parents are really unrivaled at how we're so adaptable. So if you don't have blue Jell-O, my goodness, you might have another color, or you have sugar, or you have flour, or you can use cornmeal for this activity. So whatever you can find in your cupboard, don't let it stop, because this is a quickie. Also, when you're with your kids, you want to be proactive. You want to make a secure learning environment. And usually with preschoolers, that just means we don't want it to be too messy. But yet, we want that child's natural wonder and their curiosity. They don't always want to be told to, hey, don't make a mess. Let's be careful. Watch what you're doing. So this activity, if you use it on that cookie tray, keeps it in one area so it won't be too messy. And, of course, go ahead and put newspaper down on the floor or use a plastic tablecloth. So this is play for a child learning. But so the first thing you want to do together is open up that box of gelatin. Usually they're cardboard. And let those little fingers actually open them up. That's part of using that small motor skill. If you have some blunt scissors, let them cut open the little bag that the gelatin is in and then pour it out right on that sided cookie sheet or that platter. And then let their little hands just pound it down or shake that little cookie tray so that it's all nice and smooth. So here we've already done a couple other things. Even though we're going to talk about the number 2, we're already using motor skills with this activity. The first thing I like to do with them is I want the child to draw 2 circles with using one finger in that dry gelatin. Now, if you say, Robbie, would you please draw me 2 circles, and they look at you and they don't have a clue what a circle is, that's okay. what you want to do then is make a circle yourself in that gelatin. Just make it so you can see through the cookie sheet, that big circle. And then take your child's hand, let them have one finger, and trace that circle. There is no right or wrong answer when you're dealing with children and having play. So if they know what a circle is, maybe it's not completely round, but that's okay. They're a preschooler. Do they know what two means? Show them that you can draw two circles and say, here's one circle and here's a second circle. Because here what you're doing is you're developing some language skills. And they have to listen. Did you say to make one circle or did you say to make two circles? And they have to follow directions. And then we're introducing the math skill by recognizing two objects. So have you ever drawn something like that, Dory? Have you had your child draw in sugar or flour?
You know what? We used to do stuff like that all the time because I liked making pizza with them. And it's funny because my sister-in-law, I always cooked with my kids. And she'd say, but it makes such a mess. I said, I know. And then they learn how to clean up. And it's like when they spill something, they learn what a sponge is, and I get to talk to them about how it's dried and it's sleeping, and then it wakes up when it gets wet, and, you know, so, you know,
right.
So, yeah, we would always, and I was a sidewalk talk parent.
Oh, yes.
So we would draw pictures on the driveway all the time and things. So I actually don't remember if I've ever done the cookie sheet with the Jell-O, but I'm like, oh, darn, that sounds like so much fun.
It is, and it just keeps it in one little area, and you're using their sense of touch, so they're remembering how to make that circle and then where that is going in their brain. So not only are they visually looking at it, they're actually using their touch part of their brain too. And so after you've done circles, well, then you can always go on to drawing two squares. So again, you're teaching some geometry here. And illustrate if you need to. If they don't know what a square is, draw it in that blue gelatin so they can see it and let them trace it. Now, we're trying to work with the number two, so you've got one square, two squares for them to look at. Now, let's see if they can actually make the numeral two in the gelatin. Again, if they don't know what it looks like, let them copy yours. Helping them to learn some numeral recognition. And again, those listening and language skills. After they've done the numeral two, then we can write the word two in the gelatin, T-W-O. You know, you're setting your child up for success. If they don't recognize what a T is, you're saying it when you're writing it. Here's how we make a T. Let them get their finger and trace that T. Here's how we make a W. Get that finger and trace that W. Here's how we make an O. Let your child trace that O, and then count the number of letters that are in the word two. One, two, three. There's three letters. You can just go on and on about conversing when you're doing any type of a little activity. And if writing a two, if you think that's too hard with your little two-year-old or three-year-old, well, let them just draw two lines in the gelatin. You're just trying to help them know what the number two is.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh. It got quiet for a second. You know, it's so funny. To me, life was always such a math game. And it might be because I was really never comfortable with math myself. I have dyslexia, and we didn't find that out until algebra. And, you know, same thing with my ADD. Back then, I was just a fidgety kid, you know.
Sure.
Because our generation, we didn't have those kind of labels. But so because I think I was uncomfortable with math, I tried to always encourage my kids and association and, you know, size and shape and all of that. And it wasn't until I got to college as an adult, because I didn't go back to college until I was an adult, and I was in an educational math class, that I found out that geometry is probably my strongest suit. Because unlike what you think, geometry is spatial relations. And that's why I love how you're talking about the geometry in talking about circles and squares. And it's just not lines and graphs. It's how things fit together and how shapes make another shape and everything else. So I'm really enjoying this because it encourages them on such an internal level to not be afraid of math.
Right, 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 right. And it's never too early to introduce math. And that's in one of the blogs that we have on the website that's called Eager to Learn. You know, we have more ways that you can just talk about the number two that are so simple. Like just when you're in the car, you can look at your child and say, hey, can you hold up two fingers? And see if they know how to hold up two fingers. Or count aloud. Can you count aloud to two? And see if they can say one, two. You know, on a piece of paper, if you're at a restaurant and you're waiting for dinner or whatever, write the number two. Say the word. See if a child can write the number two and say the word. What I always would love is we'd be playing with our toys and I'd say, can you pick up two toys? And see if they can pick up two toys. And then we can work motor skills into this. I mean, see if your child can jump two times. Can he clap two times? And then memory skills. Think of a finger play that would have the number two in it. We have a couple on the website. One of them starts with way up high in an apple tree, two red apples look down at me. Children love to say finger plays. So we're using the number two in a story so they can understand. And we're pointing with our finger, two red apples. If you have a ruler, you're at your desk and you're working, take that ruler out. See if your child can find the number two on the ruler. They're bored. You're in the car again. If you have your cell phone with you, see if they can find the number two on the phone. Or how about the number two on the computer keyboard? There's so many different ways that you can bring in numbers. And then even get, you talk about cooking and how you love to cook. It's a wonderful way to get math in. So ask your child with water, see if they can have a measuring cup that shows ounces and see if they can show 2 ounces of water. Or in a quart container, see if they can pour 2 cups of water. And then, of course, all the games that are out there that deal with numbers, well, just see if they can roll a die until 2 dots appear. And then my favorite, if you want them to get them quiet, we would always say at nighttime, I have 2 words to say to you, sleep tight. So that you can bring that number in so many different ways. And fact is, we just shared, believe it or not, in our little chat, we did 20 different ways that you can experience the number two.
You know, it's funny. It just goes to show how old I am. When you were like, when you were in your car, I'm thinking of I Spy. You're like, you know, your cell phone.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I spy 2 objects.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I used to play I Spy with my kids all the time because I was a traveling mom with them. And I'm a museum hound, so every year I would take them down to Washington, D.C., sometimes twice a year for like a week. So we could just go to museums. And we lived outside of Manhattan in Westchester County, so it was about 35 minutes to drive to New York City. And so we were a member of the Museum of Natural History. And so by the time my daughter was 4, she could take you around the Museum of Natural History like a tour guide.
Oh, great.
You know what? That's the whole thing. Your kids are just never too young for you to expose them to everything. It's so funny. I think about saying thank you, please and thank you. I mean, that starts in a high chair.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
I remember when my oldest was, you know, 8, he was my most vocal out of all 3 of my kids. It was interesting because my oldest spoke at 8 months old. My sister-in-law handed him something, and he went, "Dad, too," and she was like, oh, he said, thank you. And I was like, yes, he did. She was like, oh, I can't believe, and my middle son was speech delayed.
Okay.
You know? So
okay.
Because
yeah.
of the tubes, he had to have bilateral tubes in his ears, and I was an interpreter for the hearing impaired, so I taught him to sign. And when he was in speech class, his speech therapist was like, well, he didn't have to speak. You taught him to sign. I was like, wow, where did you get your degree? A Cracker Jack box? Like,
and
really?
Signing is so huge right now. Lots of young parents are doing, and that's wonderful.
It's an amazing thing. And baby fingers, Laura Heller was on the show a couple of months ago from babyfingers.com, and that's what she does. She teaches hearing parents and hearing children sign language. because of what it does for their vocabulary. So as you were talking about motor skills and things like that, cognitively, when you can associate something for your children with their words and with their fingers and with their mom, and you can put it all together like that, it's such a reinforcement in that whole learning. You know, I would always, you know, when they were babies and we were playing with something, I would always say, you know, and mommy's going to use the red crayon for this and the blue, you know, pencil for that. And, you know, I would just always kind of identify things with them. And it wasn't like I was sitting there and they were in school. It was just the way I communicated with them. And it was funny because I had brought my son to our church preschool 3 mornings a week, more so I could have some alone time with my next child, because my 3 kids are less than 5 years apart. And
okay.
I wanted to have that alone time with Rob that I had had with Dan. So 3 mornings a week I had Danny over at his preschool, and he was almost 3. They wanted to put him in with the 4-year-old. Because he walked in, he's like, "Oh, mommy, look, it's a blue crayon. I like the purple one better." This meant he was like, "No, it's his colors and his numbers." And I was like, "But it's not because I sat there drilling him with colors and numbers. I just always talked." And that's the other thing. When you're talking with your kids, I know to you it may seem like you're being silly, saying, "Oh, and I'm going to use my blue pen to do this," but they're not adults; they're kids, and
right.
Letting them remember that this is a blue pen or that's a red crayon and things like that, it really does just help them associate things. And I wouldn't let him go in with the older kids. I was like, no, I'd rather him be a leader with his peers than a follower with older kids.
Right, you know? And there's still social skills. But that reminds me, there was a report that was a strategic roadmap from Too Small to Fail. And that report just amazes me because it states that so many parents are so totally unaware that they can have a lifelong impact on a child's learning starting from birth. Mm-hmm. So children with weak pre-literacy and number skills in kindergarten, those are the same children that have the weak vocabulary and math skills in seventh grade. So many parents are still out there, they don't understand that talking to their child and just, you know, conversing with them is so important on how they're going to learn for the rest of their life.
Without a doubt. And, you know, it's so much of what happens in our children's lives when they are little impacts them for the rest of their lives, and parents don't realize it. You know, I was reading something on Facebook the other day about a parent saying to his kid, "What a horrible child you are." And it was just like, wow, you know, my nephew bit my son once. And it was the same thing. My brother-in-law was like, "You are an awful child. What a horrible, you know, thing. You did this, you did that." And I brought him on my lap and I was like, you know, that biting is never a good thing to do. It's never something that you should do, but that doesn't make you a horrible child. I know
right.
in your heart how much you love Danny, but you made a bad choice. And
right.
it hurt his tummy. You made his tummy bleed, you know. And so
oh.
when you're upset, you need to use your words, not your mouth, to bite. You need to use your mouth to speak. And there's my nephew hugging me, and he looks at his father, and he's like, "You know, I like Aunt Dory's words a lot better than I like yours." And it was amazing because, you know, here's my in-laws who are doctors, PhDs, and, you know, they got into that, you know, bad boy, good boy thing. It's like, yeah, bad choice, not
right,
bad boy,
right.
not bad girl, you know. Little things like that, and you know what? Our parents didn't realize it.
Right, right, right. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's an amazing thing because, you know, on the one hand, you know, because I'm the mommy, that's why. That was, you know, my mother, you know, why can't I do what I want to do? Because I'm the mommy, that's why. I think we have to find that middle road because I think the big problem now is that parents want to over-explain everything to their kids, over-analyze everything, and fall into that trying to be their children's friend.
Right. No, we don't want to do that.
Thank you.
I'm on board with you on that one. I really am. But
you know,
in those preschool years, they're just so short. And their brain is working like at 2.5 times of an adult. So their memory, if you tell them they're bad, they're going to remember that for so long. So that's why we do have to be so careful with our words. I love how you explained that to your little nephew.
Well, you know, it's an amazing thing because, again, you know, in those young years, you know, forget it. You get into their adolescence, you get into teenage years, you have a whole bunch of other things that come up. But the reality is, I remember my children's father asking me with our son when he was 3, you know, he had misbehaved, and he goes, you know, how do you get him to take a time out? And I was like, excuse me? He goes, well, I tried to get him to sit in the timeout chair, and he wouldn't do it. How do you get him to take a time? How do you do it? I was like, I don't know, because he's 3 and I'm not. I was like, the reality is, if you can't get him to listen to you at 3 years old, he's not going to listen to you when he's 13.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
And that, you know, you are setting up that whole relationship, the talking with each other. You know when your child's upset about something or when something's bothering them, you're going to either encourage them to talk about how they feel about something, or you're going to tell them it's not okay to talk about their feelings and that they have to just squash it. And you know, for me, I wanted my kids to be able to talk to me about anything and everything they were going through. Now my kids are in their 20s, and, you know, they talk to me about anything and everything. And they're so
Sometimes you didn't like that, huh?
You know, there are those few things in life that you just don't need to know. On the other hand, I will never say to them, I don't really want to hear this, because I don't ever, ever want them to think there's anything they can't talk to me about, you know?
Right.
But it
right.
does. It becomes that double-edged sword, you know? So, all right, to reinforce what we were talking about today, we just, don't forget, you just need the gelatin and a cookie sheet or something that's got sides, and you can use paper, crayons. I really do encourage you to go to If Not You Who, ifnotyouwho.org, and take a look at all of the great activities that Debbie and Alyssa have created. They've done the research, they've done the work, and they have found ways to make it so much fun to play with your children and help them learn. And guess what? Mom and Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, aunts, uncles, whatever, you're going to have a good time too, because playing with Jell-O is fun.
It's fun, it's quick, and it's easy. It's not like we're asking you to, commit an hour a day. We're asking you to have 2 or 3 minutes of quick fun. And we recommend even books on the website, like there's a book, Fish Eyes, a book you can count on by Lois Ellert that we really like, and there's another one called Beach Ball by Peter Sis, which, again, talks about numbers. So if you go on that website, hopefully you're going to find that you've got 10 minutes to spend with your child. You're going to find something you can do in 10 minutes.
You know, I have to laugh. Today is my niece's birthday, and my big brother loved The Count on Sesame Street.
Okay.
So I will never forget coming over to my niece. She's 29 today. And it was she was 3. And I come in and my brother's like, ooh, Kim, count to 10 for Aunt Dee Dee. And she's like, okay. She goes, 1, 2, 3, ah, 4, 5, 6. Ah, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh, that brings back memories. I know that.
Count Von Count. He was the best.
Yes. And that's it. And songs and music are great factors. That's what we're going to talk about in our next show.
Music
is such a good part of how we can teach our kids. And, again, it's just a fun way to play and yet learn.
Oh, and I was a singing mom.
Oh,
you know,
perfect.
I did children's theater. I've done theater professionally my whole life, but I started doing children's theater when I was, you know, 12, and worked with a professional children's theater company. So I remember walking one time with my daughter. She woke up and she wanted to be a puppy. So I took out my makeup case, made her a little puppy face and whatnot, and we're walking down the street, and this woman said to her, oh, were you at a party? She goes, no, I just wanted to be a puppy. And I was like, yes, that's the joy of being 4. You can be a puppy when you want to be, and you should encourage that in your kids. Encourage them to sing and dance and let them get up on the table, and we'll talk about it next show, but, you know, you really should. Oh, just
good.
So you know, coming up on Word of Mom Radio, I want you to enjoy the archives of the show that I'm going to do with Lucille O'Neill, who is Shaq O'Neill's mom, and she's sharing three inspirational women who won a contest with the Boys and Girls Club of America and the University of Phoenix. And these three women were awarded full-ride scholarships all the way to their graduate degrees.
Wow.
So I encourage you guys to go back and listen to the archives. We have such great shows that are coming up that have already happened, and that's the great thing about our archives. It makes us live on your time. So I am looking forward to next month's show, and I'll keep my fingers crossed that Alyssa is going to be here, but if not, I am happy to sing along and play with you.
Well, thank you so much, Dori. It was really fun, and you have a good day.
You too. Bye for now, everybody.